Hello, I'm Eric Jansen, and you're tuned to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. Tonight, queerly classical. It seems there's a queer everything in our city by the bay, or there has been for quite some time, but there wasn't a gay symphony orchestra until about 4 years ago, when a group of musicians formed the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony. The group has quickly built a reputation. SF Classical Voice, for example, says Bay Area Rainbow Symphony's earnestness in music making is truly a breath of fresh air in the classical music scene. Stick around and hear why they formed, how their performances are different from other orchestras' concerts, and some of the music they'll be playing at their next concert, Saturday, March 24th, and at upcoming concerts in June and later this year. Joining me in the studio are a member of BARS, Bay Area Rainbow Symphony, and a guest soloist. First, I want to introduce clarinetist Susan Barnes. She's been in the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony for 2 years. She's also played in Symphony Parnassus, Prometheus Symphony, and several chamber music groups in the Bay Area. Susan won several awards for clarinet performance while growing up in South Africa and has performed as a soloist with the Cape Town Symphony Orchestra and after moving to the U.S. with the Oberlin Chamber Orchestra. Susan Barnes, welcome to Out on the Bay.
Thank you.
Also joining me is violinist, violist, and conductor Dawn Harms. She's a member of the San Francisco Opera Orchestra, associate concertmaster of the New Century Chamber Orchestra, and co-concertmaster with the Oakland East Bay Symphony. She's also a co-founder and music director of the Music at Kirkwood Chamber Music Festival and currently serves on the music faculty at Stanford University. She's featured guest soloist at the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony's March 24th concert coming right up. Well, she's brought her violin. I don't know if she'll...
If you'd like me to, I might even play something.
She might show us a few things on her violin. Dawn Harms, thanks for joining us here on Out in the Bay.
It's great to be here.
So I want to get right into some music. We're going to hear the start of Spring from Piazzolla's Cuatro Estaciones Porteñas. Our guest, Dawn Harms, is playing the violin solo on this piece. That's track six. We just heard part of Spring. That's the first movement from Piazzolla's Cuatro Estaciones Porteñas played by... Oh, what orchestra was this?
It was the New Century Chamber Orchestra.
Okay.
Yeah, with Nadja Selena Sonnenberg, who's our music director.
And that solo was by Dawn Harms. She's one of my guests here on Out in the Bay, along with principal clarinetist Susan Barnes of the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony, or BARS. BARS will be playing that Piazzolla composition at its Saturday, March 24th concert in the San Francisco Conservatory of Music's Concert Hall with Dawn Harms soloing. Concert and ticket info is online at BARS-SF.org, BARS-SF.org. So, Dawn, tell us a little bit about this music and about Piazzolla.
Well, the thing that is taking off, actually, is Piazzolla's music, because he was a bandoneon player, which is like an accordion player. Most people know accordion from maybe, let's say, polkas and so on, but it's like I guess no one can see my hands. It's like an accordion, but it's round, and it's very tiny. It's half the size of an accordion.
Thinking a concertina.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, but it has an incredible sound. It doesn't even need any amplification. It just sings out because of the way it's built. and it has these incredible chambers inside. And Piazzolla was a master. He was a genius at it. And he wrote all this music. He just loved that. He's from Argentina, and he obviously grew up with tango. So he said, we can do it too. And he loved the violin. So one of his best friends was the violinist, and they would travel around playing bandoneon and bass. They would add clarinet sometimes. He has many, many different arrangements of this. But this is that particular arrangement. Guidon Kremer, the famous violinist, had it arranged. And it has that tango flavor again, and you can dance with it. But he loved Vivaldi's Seasons, so he patterned it after Vivaldi's Seasons. But it's more of kind of the sultry. You can hear it. Hopefully you'll all come out on the 24th. You can hear it that he has it's more of an Argentinian South American heat in it. It's not like the kind of Vivaldi, which just seems more classical. You can actually feel the steam coming off on a hot, sultry night in Argentina.
Oh, that sounds good, especially with the rain we've been having.
Yeah, exactly.
And tell us a little bit again about the group you're playing with on this recording we just heard.
Yeah, this is the New Century Chamber Orchestra, which is a 18-piece orchestra that there's no conductor, which, you know, I've done all of it. I've conducted myself. I play without conductor, chamber music, chamber orchestra. And the neat thing about this is, again, 18 of us, and there's no conductor, so we just have to listen. And Narja Selena Sonnenberg is our music director. So she actually leads us from the chair. And I was a soloist in the beginning of that piece you just heard, but she's the actual part that I will be playing on the 24th.
Okay.
She is the soloist, but The neat thing about this is Bars, Bay Area Rainbow Symphony, will be playing all the intricate parts. So the solos in the violins, violas, cellos, bass. So everyone has a solo now and then, but the featured is the violin.
Right. Okay.
Again, patterned after those of you who know Vivaldi's Seasons, for solo violin and strings. So this is for solo violin, which will be me, and strings.
Now, you told me on the phone earlier this week that Vivaldi, this Piazzolla piece is often played in concerts with...
Yes.
Vivaldi's. So
the last time I played this was
with
Sacramento Symphony, and they had their concertmaster play Vivaldi. So you did a movement, like let's say you did Spring of Vivaldi, then we did Spring of Piazzolla, then Winter of Vivaldi, Spring, and then Piazzolla, and we alternated it. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool to see the difference. It's about an hour of music, but it's about 26 minutes on the 24th, so you won't be there listening for an hour, per
right.
se. Before the Brahms starts, but it's a wonderful piece, and everyone can just feel the tango flavor, and tango's taken off. It's played everywhere. Everybody wants these arrangements of Piazzolla. I mean, he's almost more well-known than he was when he was alive, which happens often, but people just have taken off with his music, and not just to dance with, but just to listen to.
When was he alive?
He was alive, he was born in the...
Roughly.
I would say 1900s, yes.
Okay.
So he was in our life, in our century. Not in my lifetime.
not even just barely, no.
No, not even barely.
Okay. So we're going to hear another bit from the Piazzolla composition, and this is autumn. This is the beginning of autumn. Do we need to talk first about,
yes.
You told me this about playing behind the bridge. What
right.
does that mean?
This is the neat thing about Piazzolla. He had really cool sound effects for the violin, and again, he wasn't a violinist, but he knew how it worked. And I have my violin here, and I'll just show you. He, again, autumn is not necessarily sultry, but he had it... he liked that sound. I think it's more crickets, where you put the bow literally behind the bridge, almost on the colored wound part where the strings are wound, and it sounds like this. Which is a typical Piazzolla sound. He actually developed it. And then jazzers use it today. Or you'll hear like a chop. They call it a chop, and it's like... So he'll have that, and you hear this, and then he'll have like... All this kind of neat sound.
Tapping on the actual wood part of the violin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the cellos have where they hit the back. So instead of percussion instruments, you just whack your violin, poor thing. But you whack the stringed instruments, and you can hear it in this next piece. It starts right off the bat, and that's me playing it. Sorry.
When you play behind the bridge, is there any sense of having an actual, you know, pitch, or is it just kind of
It's more
random?
Like your knees cracking if you needed knee surgery. Kind of like here's on the lowered strings. Now I'll go up. The next two strings. And here's the E, which is the highest and the thinnest, and the A.
Not much difference. At least I can't tell.
I like down in the low. And you'll hear it right off the bat on this piece. It's really cool. And he just knew the effects to get that kind of sultry kind of feel within the tango.
Okay, so let's hear that now. And then you hear part of the second movement. I think it's the last movement of Piazzolla's Quattro Estaciones Porteñas. It will be performed by the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony in its concert Saturday, March 24th at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, 50 Oak Street at Van Ness. You're tuned to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are Susan Barnes, principal clarinetist of the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony, and guest violin soloist Don Harms. Now, that last bit was a cello, not a violin, but she started off with that behind the bridge stuff that we demonstrated
what we were
for us.
To show them, yeah.
A couple moments ago. Thank you. So the other piece that's on this program coming up on March 24th is Brahms. Susan, if you can tell us, the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony has sort of made a concerted effort to play all of Brahms' symphonies during this season, is that right?
Not during this season. Between this year, 2012 and 2015, we're going to be doing all four Brahms symphonies.
So one a year, kind of? Is that the idea?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there anything in particular you want to tell us about what we're about to hear?
What we're about to hear is a very famous... it's actually a drinking song in Germany, and Brahms, it's the theme of this piece, and it's very victorious and luscious and beautiful, and most people should know it because it's quite famous.
All right, then, let's hear it. Thank you. Again, that is part of a Brahms Symphony No. 1, which the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony will be playing along with Cuatro Estaciones Porteñas on March 24th. I'm here with clarinetist Susan Barnes and guest soloist Don Harms. Can you tell us, Susan, a little bit about that Brahms piece that we just heard? And as we were playing that, talking while I was playing just here in the studio, you were saying that there's some, debate about how fast a particular piece should be played, and the composer's, you know, long dead, so what do they know? What do they care? They're not going to know. Is there debate about that?
Basically, it's up to each performer or conductor to figure out what tempo they should play the pieces at, and there's a lot of differences in interpretation from recording to recording. And we were just saying this one was a little bit slow, and how Daniel, our conductor, also has his own ideas on tempo, and he's actually written a blog post about that, which people could go and see on his website, which is danielcanosa.com.
Canosa is spelled C-A-N-O-S-A,
yeah,
right? DanielCanosa.com. And he's been the artistic director of the symphony since its inception or not, or more recently?
He's been the only conductor.
He's been the only conductor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Since the beginning.
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay.
They actually had a search, and I think they had four finalists, and he was chosen. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is this, what orchestra was that?
This is Berlin. Berlin Philharmonic.
And they're playing it slowly.
Yeah.
They can't handle it the way the BARS, Bayerian Symphony, is going to move it along a little bit?
No, I think we'll probably play it a bit slower.
Okay. Yeah, Berlin keeps it moving.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. So tell me now, let's talk about the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony for a while. Why was it formed, and what's the, what's its mission?
Well, it's dedicated to promoting and supporting gay, lesbian, and bisexual, transgender, queer-identified musicians, so LGBTQ musicians and composers, towards the goal of broad crossover appeal and excellence in performing arts. We're a really diverse group of musicians. It's an all-inclusive group with a goal of overcoming the stigma that LGBTQ arts lack broad appeal. So kind of just making the arts from LGBTQ much more accessible to everyone. BARS was formed as a community for musicians to enjoy classical music and is becoming an intersection for LGBTQ artists to connect with each other and a wide range of audiences.
So do you, and you specifically also have a... you emphasize gay composers and gay musicians.
Right.
And this particular concert that's coming up on the 24th, that doesn't happen to be the case, although I did talk to one of your members a week or so ago, Clayton Bullock, who said, well, Brahms, he might have been gay, but, mm-hmm.
Or bi.
Or bi, at least.
Well, that's the thing. We don't really know about most of these composers. And it had to be so hidden back then. I mean, they didn't have the freedoms we do today. So there was some rumor that...
Some scholars believe Brahms and Schumann may have had a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Clara
that he was
lusting after.
But there was letters between Clara. They were supposed to have had this long relationship, he and Clara.
Could be brother and sister.
Yeah, okay.
Brother and sister, even though I think he wrote most of his beautiful themes. In fact, there's a gorgeous theme in the last movement of this Brahms symphony that specifically he wrote it for Clara. And you can just hear his heart poured out in every note. And so it's obviously for someone. Now, maybe he was looking past Clara at Robert,
mm-hmm.
but he says it's for Clara.
Okay, so it's similar debates about Shakespeare.
That's right, exactly.
June 2nd is the BARS 2012 Pride Month concert. And that one actually has several, Mussorgsky is featured in that, and then Conte is a Bay Area composer who's gay, right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about Conte?
He's a composition professor at San Francisco Conservatory, and that's about all I know about him right now.
Well, his music is lyrical, but yet, obviously, he's writing for today, so it's quite contemporary. One of my good friends, Emil Milan, premiered one of his sonatas not so long ago, a cellist in the Bay Area. And the neat thing about live composers like Conte is that, they're there, and they can tell you the tempos. There's no debate. They're there to work with you and express what they really want. Because if you think about over 100 years, 200, 300 years, who knows how watered down the pieces get? Because they didn't have recording resources. So that's the neat thing about having a live composer. But his works are really accessible, I think, to audiences.
Mm-hmm. And Mussorgsky is also one that you're going to be playing there. We have, this is like a Pictures at an Exhibition. It's a very short piece that we're going to play, just about a minute long. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear?
Well, this is called The Promenade, and basically Pictures at an Exhibition is Mussorgsky's composition about an art gallery. So he's looking at various different paintings in an art gallery, and this one is the a painting of a promenade. And so it starts with this really grandiose trumpet solo.
And you were saying before that we can sort of hear the tone of the music shifting as if he's looking at one
piece
for the next.
Yes, it's his experience at a museum, going through all the different, like we all do when we go to a museum. It takes you out of your world and into their world, and you can hear which every movement. He goes from like the promenade to the gates of Kiev to the southern really quirky one, like
witches' hats or something
like that. Witches' hats, and you can literally hear the music jump out through his eyes from the paintings he's looking at.
Okay, so let's hear Promenade. So that is Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, and that will be played at the June 2nd concert of the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony. Again, if you want information about the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony, it's bars-sf.org. So we've heard about some gay composers. Any lesbian composers that, you know, I know there's obviously two lesbian musicians in the room that are going to be featured at your concerts. Are there lesbian composers that you know of and have been out there?
Well, Jennifer Higdon, you'll be playing, right?
Yeah, we're playing her.
And unfortunately, she's only one, I think, of all the men that you're playing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see.
Well, but isn't that been true? Like, you know, if you go back to classical music over the years, I mean,
well,
men did that.
I mean, this Fanny men, of course, men rule. They think they rule anyway in this department. I mean, I don't know about lesbian composers per se. There's Fanny Mendelssohn. There's a lot of women composer, but not necessarily lesbian. But Higdon definitely was lesbian. Trying to think of Chen Yi. She's not gay. She's Chinese. And ones that are still alive and still composing. What am I talking about? Clarice Assad, who we will be doing her world premiere the next day, if you don't mind, on the 25th with Parnassus Symphony Parnassus at the same hall, San Francisco Conservatory, at 3:00. And we're doing a world premiere of Clarice Assad's Scattered. And it's called Scattered because she is a pianist and she scats and she plays jazz. And she's never written a concerto. This is a concerto, but it has jazz elements all through it. Of her composition, her scatting, and her playing the piano. And it's world premiere of Clarice Assad.
And that's
March 25th? 3:00.
3:00. And
same hall,
and this is the Parnassus Symphony. Where do people find information on that?
They go to
symphonyparnassus.org.
There you go.
Thank you.
Fantastic. So we're almost out of time. I want to play a little bit of the clarinet solo that Susan will be playing in November. Tell us about this.
The concert's on November 10th. It's a concerto for clarinet and viola, and I'll be playing with Jody Levitz, who is the viola professor at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music.
And that was
the Bruch Concerto for Clarinet and Viola.
And you will be playing the solo in that in November
with the 10th.
Bay Area Rainbow Symphony. And that brings us to, you know, we're out of time pretty much. I want to thank you both for being here. This is Susan Barnes. Your last names are so similar. I've been having this problem
Dawn
all week.
Harms,
Susan
Barnes.
Harms, principal clarinetist at the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony, and Dawn Harms, who is plays with the San Francisco Opera Symphony
Orchestra.
Yes. And she is the featured soloist on March 24th. Thank you so much. We're going to go out, instead of our usual theme song tonight, we're going to go out with a bars piece. This is from Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet. So we'll start that up, and then I'll be reading the credits and giving you some information about how you can get tickets to this upcoming show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
If you would like tickets to and get more information about the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony and tickets to their upcoming concerts, it's bars-sf.org. You've been listening to Out in the Bay Gay Radio from San Francisco. We're heard every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We're heard Thursdays, I just said that, at 7 o'clock. Our copy machine did not work tonight. We bring you conversations you aren't likely to hear elsewhere because we're able to. And we hope that's of value to you. Keep us here for another 7 years. Please consider a tax-deductible contribution at our website, outinthebay.com. We thank KALW for studio time, and especially this week's engineer, Joanne Marr. Thanks also to WI Enterprises for keeping outinthebay.com looking sharp and working well. Services for your life and your business, wyenterprises.com. We'd love to hear from you, so please write to us, Marilyn at outinthebay.com and Eric at outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening.